What changes when you think about light as a force, a thing? Well, in a lab at MIT, neurobiologist Ed Boyden is using light to unlock one of the most mysterious objects in the universe.
Well, you know, as a kid, I was, you know, very thoughtful and trying to think about, you know, what's the meaning of life and what should we do and, you know, what does it mean to be human? And so I studied physics, which, of course, didn't solve those things. And I got very interested in the brain. And then I realized, hey, you know, maybe a physicist could help a lot by developing inventions that could help us understand the brain.
Today, Ed Boyden is at the forefront of a new science that aims to map and even heal the brain with light. It's called optogenetics, and the journal Science has called it one of the great insights of the 21st century. It's in its early days yet, but the goal is to one day be able to take depression or PTSD or Parkinson's or epilepsy and, using bursts of light, just turn them off. The same way you'd fix a software glitch in a computer.
It's always dangerous to make the analogy between the brain and a computer, but it's maybe a place to start. If you want to be able to understand and fix a computer, you need a couple things. You need a map of the computer. You need a keyboard so you can enter information into it. And you need some kind of display to read out what's going on in real time. And so optogenetics is kind of the keyboard. We can enter information into the brain, and that helps us both figure out what that information does, but also it helps us figure out what sites in the brain, what regions of the brain, if we perturb them, might help us overcome brain disorder states.
So explain what that means. I mean, let's say you've got a brain experiencing major depression. Right now, there are a limited number of things you can do. You can try pharmacology and antidepressants. You can try talk therapy. But now, what are you suggesting you could do?
Well, with optogenetics, we can start to activate or shut down specific cells in the brain. So the brain is a circuit made out of these networks of connected cells called neurons. And if we put our optogenetic molecules into some neurons and not others, then we can shine light on the brain, and just the neurons we want will turn on or off.
So you're talking about figuring out how to switch neurons on and off, like a light switch?
Yeah. Neurons compute using electricity. When a neuron is active, it'll fire a very brief pulse of electrical energy lasting about 1/1000th of a second. And what we found was that these molecules that are found all over the natural world in plants and bacteria that convert light into electrical signals, so we can adapt some of those molecules and transplant them into brain cells. And now when we shine light on the brain cells, these molecules will convert the light into electrical signals, and it allows us to communicate directly with those neurons in the brain.
I want to make sure I understand. Seems to me that you've got several big hurdles. First, you have to find a way to get individual neurons to recognize and respond to light. And you're doing that by finding molecules from other creatures, other organisms, that naturally respond to light. So that's task one, right?
Right.
Okay. Task two, you've got to get those molecules into neurons in a brain.
That's right.
How do you do that?
So it turns out that the field of gene therapy, which is a very big and fast-growing field, has developed all sorts of methods, like using viruses to deliver genes into the body. And, you know, there's a lot of different diseases where if you could just put the right gene in, you might be able to fix the problem. And so we're actually using the very same viruses that people have hijacked for therapeutic use in the field of gene therapy to deliver our genes.
And so then the third hurdle then is, and this is the big one, where's the light going to come from?
So getting the light into the brain actually builds from a lot of classical electronics. You know, the internet, for example, runs on optical fibers, and lasers and light-emitting diodes are found everywhere in electronics. And so what we and many others are doing are basically taking these optical fibers, these light-emitting diodes and lasers, and making miniature versions of them that could be implanted into the brain and wirelessly powered and controlled so that we can activate the neurons with light.
So you're talking about installing optical fibers in the brain?
Well, this might not be well known, but about 1/3 of a million people have already had some kind of electrical stimulator implanted in their nervous systems. People who have deafness, cochlear implants, and for people who have Parkinson's disease, deep brain stimulators. And so there's a lot of precedent for putting implanted electronics into the body.
Okay, so we've talked about the actual engineering part. It was all, I suppose, kind of theoretical, and then you began trying it in mice. So what happened? Was there kind of a eureka moment, the first mouse?
Well, I still remember when we did the very first light activation of neurons, and it was kind of surreal. My colleague Carl Deisseroth had delivered the gene for one of these molecules into some neurons in a dish, and I was shining light on them. And when they started firing these electrical pulses, it was really magical. I still remember it was around 1 o'clock in the morning, and I flicked the switch on, and the blue light hit the cells, and there they were, you know, speaking the neural code.
That must have been, just an amazing moment.
Yeah, it was pretty surreal.
Let's talk a bit about what you've been able to do in mice.
Okay. Well, I'll tell you about a study that my group did not do, but they used our technology to do it, which I think is one of the most philosophically and interesting experiments that's been done to date with optogenetics. And this was done by a group at Caltech. What they did is they first looked into the brains of mice in order to figure out which cells were active when mice were aggressive or violent. And they found a little tiny cluster of cells deep in the brain in a region called the hypothalamus that were active or lit up when mice were engaged in such behavior. They then took our molecule and put it into those neurons using a virus and waited a few weeks for the virus to express the gene. And they shine light down an optical fiber from a laser aimed at those cells. And what happened was something very striking. When the light shined on those cells, the mice would immediately become aggressive or violent. They would attack pretty much whatever was next to them, even if it was a rubber glove. And so this allowed, our technology allowed a group to really pinpoint the set of cells in the brain that when you activate can trigger something like aggression or violence.
Wow. I also read something, I have to ask you about, this was in an article about the work that said they were even able to remotely control motor circuits in a mouse so that they could make an animal run in circles at the flick of a switch. Really?
Well, so this is one of the very first experiments in optogenetics many, many years ago. A mouse was engineered, a so-called transgenic mouse, so that the neurons in the cortex, the surface of the brain, would be light activatable. And so if you shine light down an optical fiber at the motor neurons on the surface of the cortex, those neurons will be activated and the mice will move. And so if you shine light on part of the brain, you might activate a limb or the whiskers of the mouse or eye movements or so forth. And so if you shine light in a certain part of the brain, you can actually get the animals to walk.
This is where I have to ask. You know those old movies with mad scientists and sinister government agencies, and there are these secret labs where scientists are working on something they call mind control. I mean, if you develop the technology to turn brain circuits off and on and to make animals move involuntarily, couldn't that same technology be used to manipulate people?
I think that lots of technologies have good as well as potentially bad uses. And I think the most important thing is to get people talking about the technology. You know, let's decide together what we want to do with these tools as a society, as a medical community, and so forth, in order to make the human condition as good as it can be. It's also important not just to have these discussions, but, you know, if those of us who have a voice and if we see something that we disagree with, we need to use that platform to speak out and talk about it.
Yeah.
And so that's one reason why, you know, I've tried to work some to engage with the public, is because I think that people are uncomfortable talking about the brain. You know, the brain is so close to home. You know, it makes us who we are. It contributes to our thoughts and identities and feelings. And so even getting people to really discuss the brain is difficult sometimes because it's, again, so close to who we are that it's easy to even forget the fact that this is our brain that's, you know, generating these kinds of sensations and feelings and so forth.
Right. There's also something kind of poetic, don't you think, about mapping the brain, mapping ourselves by literally shining a light on it, shedding light? And do you have a sense of that metaphor as you're designing these procedures?
Well, you know, in some ways, light is a great tool for looking at biology because it's about the right size. So, you know, light has a wavelength, a sort of size dimension to it, and it's around the right size to be able to probe cells and these tiny features in the brain. You know, if you use radio waves or ultrasound, those are too crude. And if you use X-rays or really high-powered energy sources, those are destructive. And so light is such a perfect way of interacting with matter. And so that's one reason why our group uses light so much. But yes, it really captures the imagination because, of course, the other big thing that light does is tell us about the world. And, you know, it's sort of the same interactions that light has with matter that tells us that's a tree, that's a car, that's a person. Those very same, you know, physical and chemical processes are also the reason why light tells us so much about the brain. You know, light interacts with matter in very interesting ways.
Ed Boyden is a professor of bioengineering and cognitive and brain sciences at MIT, and he's the lead researcher with MIT's Synthetic Neurobiology Group. It's interesting to think about how often we use light as a metaphor for knowledge. An illuminating idea is one that sheds light. An enlightened person is someone who's seen the light. So we seem to have this deep intuition that light and the mind just go together. We'll take that idea one step further after this. I'm Anne Strainchamps. It's To the Best of Our Knowledge from Wisconsin Public Radio and PRI, Public Radio International.